meeting of the Josephine County Planning Commission on, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Welcome you all. I'm glad you could be here. The first thing we're going to do is recite the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a couple little housekeeping items for the commissioners that I'd like to stress at the request of Ann and Melissa and the staff. As we speak into our microphones, it's really important, because we're being recorded, that we speak clearly and that we speak right into the microphone. And it would also be good to announce who you are, because we're not being televised anymore. So if you could say, this is Mr. Church or Mr. Glenn or whoever, and then ask your question or make your comment, that would really help us as we record these proceedings. Okay. We have a quorum, I believe. So maybe Ann, could you just go ahead, or Melissa, recite the or do a roll call of the group here for the record.
Commissioner Church.
Here.
Here.
Commissioner
Glenn.
Here.
Commissioner
Ogden.
Here.
Commissioner Wright.
Here.
Commissioner Richardson.
Here.
Okay. Commissioner Richardson is a non-voting alternate, but this evening, because of folks that are not here, she will be a voting member of this commission this evening. Miss Peggy. I have received testimony cards from a number of folks who have turned these in. I just want to make sure before we move on, because some of you didn't indicate whether you were opposed. Maybe Don Carter, are you here? Yeah, are you opposed or neutral or for? In favor? Opposed? Okay, I'll just mark that there. I've got to separate these because the testimony is given different ways. John Schaefer?
Yes.
And you're opposed, okay. Got that. Dan Williamson?
Opposed.
Okay. Tom Pugh?
Opposed.
Okay. And Stephen Fish?
Opposed.
Okay, we'll get you in the right order here.
The record show Commissioner.
Thank you, Ron. I guess the record should indicate that Commissioner Margaret Goodwin has arrived, and now we're all here.
I apologize. All the parking type has been taken.
That's okay. I can take it. I'd prefer to have it first. If
well, I didn't want to speak first. So I want to hear
it. Oh, you won't necessarily be first.
If I can just have it last.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. Okay. The next thing after testimony cards is I need to read the procedures for quasi-judicial land use hearing. Dennis, just a point of order. Is that required since this is a continued hearing?
No.
It is not. Okay, then we will dispense with the reading of the procedures then. And we will move on to a continued land use hearing. This hearing this evening is a continued public land use hearing. The request is to approve a tentative plan for the Moser Hills subdivision, creating 7 lots for single-family residential development in the rural residential 5-acre zone, with construction of a new limited residential road connecting Newby Drive and Georgia Terrace. The property owners are Ironwood Estates. Applicant is Ironwood Estates. With that, I think we will move on to the staff report from Mr. Dennis Wilson, our interim planning director.
Thank you, Mr. Church.
I thought it'd be a good
idea to give a short explanation of how we got where we're at here. We opened the hearing on this tentative plan on January the 13th and held the public hearing. During the hearing, it became to our attention that some of the people that were testifying there indicated that they'd not received mailed public notice. The commission proceeded cautiously, closed the oral testimony to the hearing, kept the written record open for 7 days, and continued the meeting until March or February the 10th. After the next day, the staff did some research, confirmed that there was a defective notice that was given. There were 4 property owners that were not properly noticed. Consulted legal counsel. Legal counsel advised us that we needed to cancel the upcoming continued hearing on the February the 10th, give a corrected notice for a continued meeting. We searched for a meeting date that was going to work for the applicant and others, and ended up coming up with March the 17th, this date. There was written testimony that was received during the 7 days that the commission had authorized for submittal of written testimony. You have that information. That information is automatically part of the public hearing record since this is a continued hearing. After the 7 day period, some of the people who have been in opposition to the subdivision retained a land use consultant, Bob Hart. Mr. Hart has prepared some written information, submitted it. You have that before you. It needs to be submitted and entered into the record officially. You could do that now, or Mr. Hart can do that when he gives his testimony. Mr. Gerlitz, who represents the applicant, has responded to that written information from Mr. Hart. That information also is before you. It also needs to be officially entered into the record. Planning staff is not intending to make a presentation on this. You've already had a presentation from us. We have nothing to add. What we know is that Public Works staff may have some additional comments that they may wish to make after you've heard from Mr. Hart and from Mr. Gerlitz. So at this time, it would be my suggestion that you open your meeting with asking for testimony from Mr. Hart, and if he does not represent all of those who are opposed that wish to give testimony, then you allow for that. Following that, you would ask for Mr. Gerlitz to give his report and response to Mr. Hart's information and others. And in that process, too, you should also ask whether or not Public Works wishes to add any clarifying remarks to any of the statements that have been made with regard to public roads. I think that gives you kind of a background as to where we're at right now and how we got there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Is there any questions for Mr. Lewis of the Planning Commission? Hearing none, thank you for your report. Okay. In the normal order of procedure, this under a new hearing, this would be the proponent's time. But since we are a continued hearing, I believe that I'm going to take the suggestion of Mr. Lewis and start us off with representatives of opponents that would maybe want to add additional information. I'd like to be really clear here. This is a continued hearing, and it is only for the purpose of presenting new or additional information that was not heard at the original hearing. So try to keep your comments to the vein of new information, please. Mr. Hart, are you representing? Name and address for the record, please.
For the record, Bob Hart, 5126 West Evans Creek Road, land use consultant, been doing business in Josephine County, partly as a planning staff and partly as a private consultant for over 35 years. Neighbors have asked me to come and represent their interest. You have a written document there, and I outlined what the concerns were and what we can probably narrow it down to four items. Roads, water, drainage, and fire. Those are things that the neighbors have concerns about, which seems to be typical of any subdivision. We know that this subdivision has been approved before. We're trying to make it better here to try and protect everybody's interest. When we look at the roads, the issues that come up are the upgrade of Canyon Drive. It's only a 40-foot right-of-way. There's an intersection with a section of Canyon Drive that goes off to the west, or it's actually kind of a northwest. Looking at grades for the vehicles, AASHTO standards, can those be applied? And then the new extension of Newby Road, the cul-de-sac, and the loop road for access to Smoky Lane. Figured those are the primary concerns. As Canyon Drive, it doesn't meet any kind of a county standard. The neighbors have said that they were not approached to see if there's any possibility of widening it to get to full AASHTO county standards, and they were wondering if that's a possibility, but nobody's addressed that. We do agree that it would be an improvement from what's there now, because right now it's a single lane paved partway up, and then the rest of it is a gravel road. I have some pictures that I'll show you, and so we'd like you to consider the proposed additional conditions that's in the report that we submitted to you. Another issue we always have is water. There's an existing well on the property. The well log said it's a 30 gallon per minute well, but the information that was presented to you to support the application, it was only pumped at 10 gallons a minute for the seven lots. We don't feel that it's adequate to show that there is real water available. We're asking that an additional well be put in before final plat. We don't want to slow it down, but we want to make sure that there is water there. As you saw in the report, it's not too far from a water problem area. I've been advised that it is a quality area more than a yield area. But the testimony previously, there was quite a discrepancy in the yield. Some of them are high yield, some are very low yield, much less than 5 gallons a minute, one or two in some cases. So we want to make sure that there's adequate water to ensure the property owners that there will be a safe drinking water for them. We'd ask you to look at drainage, especially drainage along Canyon Drive, because the proposal is some ditches, which is a typical county kind of improvement. But there's a section that's shown in the plans that there's curbs, but we don't see any drawings that show the transition so we can make sure that the flows will come properly. We don't see any calculations to show there's drainage, and there is some drainage issues in the area already. I'll show you some pictures of those, because in the plan it shows using a natural drainage for part of it. And there's concern about increasing that flow because there's failures in the area already. The last major issue that we want to look at is fire safety because of the vegetation there. It's heavily, heavily vegetated with oak and madrone. We're looking at the fire safety standards from the Land Use Development Code. We're asking for an additional fire break, and we ask you to consider the turnaround that's being proposed. They're proposing a hammerhead instead of a cul-de-sac. Normally, the termination of a road is stopped with a cul-de-sac and not a hammerhead. They're asking for relief from standard conditions because the road possibly could be extended. As you saw in my analysis, the road cannot be extended to hook up to another public road going further to the north, or it's actually south at that juncture. So there's no way for the road to ever go through to a completed other county road, so there's no way for that connection there. So we're considering a cul-de-sac may be the better solution. in the previous approval in 2006, a cul-de-sac was required at that time. This is Kane Drive as it exits Fruitdale. At that point, it is a two-lane road. Goes up about halfway, and that's where the end of county maintenance occurs. And this is where the transition from a two-lane road goes to a one-lane road, and it increases in slope, as well as there's a curve right there. I mentioned in the report that we're concerned about sight distance, especially on the left-hand side there. There's a photograph that shows a little bit more detail of how heavily the vegetation is as we're making that curve, and we want to make sure there's adequate sight distance. As you can see at the bottom at the left, that's where the other part of Canyon Drive comes in. Taking another look at that intersection there, that's why we ask for stop signs there, because we have Canyon Road that is going to be extended. At my back when I took the picture, then you have the part going off to the right and then down the hill to Fruitdale Drive. When you go up Canyon Drive, that's the photograph to see what it looks like from the other side, where that road comes in just on the other side of that vegetation. We're very concerned about that intersection. So you can see there is some slope as it starts. This is coming up. The photograph is me standing uphill. And it goes up over the irrigation ditch. And that's where the paving stops. And we go to gravel road. This is all in the area that's proposed to be improved. This is looking back down that area. When we get up at the very top, this is where the end of Canyon Drive is now. This is the driveway to Mr. Williamson. This area right here, that's where Newby Drive will be constructed. This is Mr. Fish's property right there. So the new roadway will go right in between that area. It's a picture that, sorry that it looks dark in the overhead here, but this is the typical vegetation. I'll pass these out so you can see how dense this vegetation is. This is going around to the other side. This is Smoky Lane, where they're proposing to bring in emergency access. Come off the cul-de-sac. This is dedicated Georgia Terrace that goes up this area here. And it's not much more than a driveway itself, even though it's a dedicated right-of-way. It's unimproved. And there is a bridge that goes across the irrigation ditch at this location. Looking at the deck, there are some deck timbers that are starting to fail. And as we turn and start toward the subject property, you can see a very heavy, dense, lowland savanna-type vegetation. Very dense, very high fire danger. There's a section of that road where there is a natural drainage ditch that comes in, and testimony from one of the neighbors is that every couple of years water is flowing over the road in that location. There is no culvert there that will transfer water, and this is part of the area that's proposed as that emergency access. This is at the end of the easement where it goes onto the subject property. The well for an adjoining property is there on the right. Apparently there was one on the left that was drilled just onto this onto the Ironwoods property, so they abandoned that because it was on the wrong property. And the existing well that was shown for a source is located about another 75 feet onto the property. This is the culvert under Canyon Drive that functions as drainage during storm drains, and it also functions for irrigation during GPID. So it's close to capacity, if not above capacity right now. So we want to make sure that in the conditions that the capacity for drainage is addressed, because we don't have any calculations to see if it really does meet that, because we'll be adding more water coming down Canyon Drive and Newby. In 2005, this is one of the adjoining property owners where that natural drainage is supposed to come down through here, and it flows over the driveway now, and if we add more, we're concerned about that. So we would ask that any additional drainage be directed directly into the GPID system instead of focused down that natural drainage.
Mr. Hart, your 10 minutes is up, and I was just, are you
got about a minute getting, and a half?
Okay. I'll grant that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is looking on Canyon Drive, the existing ditch now as it comes down, and it overflows the culverts that are there. And so we're hoping that we could make sure that the conditions are there. You see, we proposed 10 additional conditions. That's in the packet that you already have. Hopefully, if there's any questions, I'd be able to answer those. We think the project can be done better than it was originally submitted, to protect the property owners in the area. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Are there any planning commissioners who would like to address Mr. Hart? Ms. Goodman?
Did I hear correctly that you said that the improvements in the current plan are better than what exists today, but that you would like further improvements?
Yes, we are asking for a little bit further improvement to bring it up closer to county standards, because the improvements that are proposed do not meet county standards as they are now. And the one that we're really concerned about is that connection between Newby and down to Smoky Lane. And I guess you have a very difficult kind of task to do at this point, is trying to figure out how to deal with this. We asked for a public road. The people in Smoky Lane don't want a lot of traffic coming through there. It's adding more impact to their neighborhood, but we want to make sure that the people up in the Canyon Drive area have an emergency way to get out. The only option that we saw was the dedication of a right-of-way, if there's some other way to make sure that it is improved to the point, but still give the people in the area the legal right to get out in case of emergency. As I don't know of any easement that will work to just give a blanket easement for everybody over there. So hopefully you can come up with a solution that we can all live with.
And, Jocelyn?
This is Jocelyn. This is from my education, because I'm learning about fractured rock and water. The salt water, where is that coming from terms of runoff? Is it something to do with the minerals in the ground, or what?
It's in the ground. It's not from runoff. The salt, there are some deposits in the Clover Lawn area. Some of the wells in there get very, very salty, even more salty than the ocean. The standard is 250 parts per million of sodium chloride. There's been wells up in that area that have tested over 3,500 parts per million. There was a lawsuit because it wasn't divulged on one, and somebody had a heart problem and they passed away from drinking that water. What they try and do now is to fully seal the well all the way down, make sure that it won't come up, and then if they hit another fracture, have it transfer onto other wells, so they're required to be cased to the full depth of the well. That's the only way that I've seen to try and solve the salt problem in the area.
Thank you.
Other commissioners, questions? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Hart. Do you have things you want to enter into the record, or?
Those exhibits and the letter that I sent to the county planning office, my signature. Yes, that would be the letter dated March 10th.
Yes,
like
the letter dated
into the record.
We've received that, and it's also been forwarded to all the commissioners, so they have that.
And we forwarded that to Mr. Gerlitz of ZCS to make sure that he had a copy as well.
That is correct. Yes, that happened. Okay, thank you.
I think what we're going to do now is move on to other testimony from opponents of the project, and then we can then move into the proponents who may have some things to say about what has transpired. I would like to recommend that you keep your testimony to only new items that weren't either talked about at the January 13th hearing or even that Mr. Hart has reiterated here as representing certain applicants. So I guess these are in no particular order. Mr. Fish, would you like to be first? Please give your name and address for the record. And you have about 5 minutes, and we give a little leeway, but we'd prefer you keep it to about 5 minutes.
All right. Stephen Fish, 100 Newby Drive. I'm concerned a lot about the well waters, and the well water, I know it's been mentioned. I just want to make sure that that is brought up again. And I would like to see propose a major and or a minor well test be done prior to letting the development commence. I think it would be safe for all of the homeowners, give us a little peace of mind. Another thing is I object to the road variance. I'm going to show you. On the map, so the road variance that they're to allow for the narrower road is from Canyon Drive at the Highline Canal up Canyon past, this is my property here, to the corner of Newby and across to here. My big concern is this is a very dangerous road right now, especially in icy conditions. So what is allowed, there's more than one variance, the non-loop development, the development is allowed to be a dead end. So now all that traffic is now traveling one way every day, twice a day, at least say 2 cars per house, 14 cars are going to come down here, bottleneck down to a narrow road and turn down this steep grade and cross a steep canal to a blind intersection, which they don't address on their plans either. I don't think they're planning on changing the intersection of Canyon and Canyon because there is a road right here that goes up. That's a big concern to me. And according to Josephine County Rural Development Code 44.030 review criteria, Section C, it says the approved variance will result in a minimum departure from the development standards needed to alleviate the hardships. And just from past experience, I know that that other developments, they don't get variances. They don't, and especially, I mean, this is a pretty serious condition in this situation right here. Another concern I have is the storm drainage. They're proposing to drain water. This is the top of Canyon. This is Newby across here. They're proposing a culvert right here and dumping it into an existing swale which runs right through my property and then dumps through a culvert that goes across John's property and then is heading right for Tom's property. And according to the Josephine County statute, drainage for individual lots, the proposed subdivision, proportion replat, planned use development, proposed subdivision, replat, or planned unit development as a whole shall be accomplished in such a manner as to prevent the excessive flow across property lines, sidewalks, or public right-of-ways. In addition to that, Oregon Department of Transportation Hydraulics Manual, Section 2.2, according to Oregon drainage laws, states, for a landowner to drain water onto land of another in a state of Oregon, one of two conditions must be satisfied initially. One, the land must contain a natural drainage course. They're bringing the drainage from the whole development down the road, down Newby, and into my property, across the drainage, if I understand it right. I may be incorrect, but I'm pretty sure that's the land.
We need you to wrap up pretty soon.
The landowner must have the acquired right of drainage supported by valuable consideration, i.e. easement agreements. In addition, because Oregon has adopted the civil law doctrine of drainage, the following three basic elements must be followed. A landowner may not divert water onto an adjoining land that would not otherwise have flowed there. They cannot divert water. The upper landowner may not change the place where the water flows onto the lower owner's land. Most of the division not in compliance with this element result from grading, paving, and work improvements. So there's many other issues I'm concerned about. Those are the biggest ones. And if I'll pursue the drainage law. I will in the future. If the development goes through as planned, which I love the development. I'm a contractor. I work in the construction industry, but I don't want it done right. Sure. And I will follow up if the drainage issue doesn't get addressed.
Hang on there just for a second. Does any members of the planning commissions have any questions for Mr. Fish? Okay, hearing none. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, the next person I have is Mr. Tom Pugh, and you also have 5 minutes.
I'm going to go quick. My name is Thomas Pugh. I live at 213 Canyon Drive. I've got some photos, but I'm going to run through them pretty quick. This first photo is from the county part. You can see the yellow and county maintenance sign there. This is looking uphill on Canyon Drive. One of my big concerns is, again, storm drains right now. Water drains down Canyon Drive. It actually comes off the bridge that goes over the Highline Canal and drains down. Because of the way the road was constructed, it crosses, instead of coming down here to this drainage ditch, it actually crosses the street and runs all the way along here and wears out the area in front of the mailboxes here every winter, whenever there's any major rainfall. These photos were taken last week, by the way, so it wasn't during the week's school. This moves up a little closer. You can see the intersection with the existing Canyon Drive that goes off here to the left, and then this is the proposed area going straight up the hill. And then beyond that, this is further up the hill around that curve. These photos here show, and then this is up at the top of that curve looking across the Highline Canal. These show the steepness of the hill, and I'm also really concerned about snow and ice. I could not get up to my driveway, which is back here just by my truck here. I couldn't get up there during the snowpocalypse a few months ago. We are on the north side of the mountain, so even when things are calming down and thawing out everywhere else in town, we're still frozen solid. It's a good 4 days after things stop before I could get back up to the house with you. So moving on there, here's the Highline Canal, the existing bridge that was put in by a previous contractor developing another piece of property up there. I've been told it's not up to TPID specs. They asked for a 6x9 flow-through area. This is a culvert that is 5 feet in diameter. It's smashed down to an oval now that is 6 feet across and 4 feet high, giving it a flow-through area of approximately 18 square feet. Then this is further on up the hill. Again, I'm worried about ice and snow and access up there. You can see the water draining down here on the side. Again, these photos were taken last weekend. This is not some major rainfall situation. Then this is looking back down the hill, and we'll go ahead and go back down the hill. Back down, here's the blind intersection on the right. And this is my tape measure. It's set at 10 feet for reference. Going down, now I'm going to go ahead and turn right up that hill. This is the currently developed part of Canyon Drive. Going on up, and
not seen an accident yet. I think that's due mainly to the fact that there's only been two residents up above Canyon until 2005, and then there were four. I'm worried that with seven more, there's going to be a lot more traffic, and we're going to get some accidents rather than just near misses. And that's everything. I just want to make sure things are brought up to GPID specs on that bridge. And there is a gas line and a cable line across the bridge. They're currently exposed because of erosion.
Mr. Pugh, are you?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions from the planning commissioners? Oops. Oh, we need your photos.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out what staff was telling me here. Sometimes I'm a little. You certainly may. Yes, I should have asked for that. Thank you for reminding me.
And were there any questions?
Yes. Any questions of the commissioners for Mr. Pugh?
Mr. Chair, Ron. I'm going to throw this question at him, and if you need to refer to Mr. Hart or anyone else in your crowd over there, I'm still trying to look. You're complaining. Let me rephrase that. You have an issue with the slope and the steepness of the road. Does anyone in that section know what the percentage is?
Yes.
And 10%, they'll be 18%, up here 23%?
It is, I believe, 13 or 14. Somebody will speak to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know of my own knowledge exactly.
I have an 18% driveway, so I understand steepness.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pugh. Mr. Dan Williamson would be next. Please give your name and address for the record, and also you will also have 5 minutes for your presentation.
My name is Dan Williamson. I reside at 233 Canyon Drive. My main thing that I would like you folks to do is not have hindsight about this upcoming improvement. In other words, I would like all of you to look at it now. I think everyone here knows that, like Redwood Avenue, if things were different, some of the things might not happen out there the way they did. I don't want my neighborhood to be the next Redwood Avenue. And so when it comes to things like fire safety, I don't want, like currently right now, if there was a fire, myself and Mr. Fish would be the only two cars coming down the road trying to be in the way of a fire truck trying to get up the road to fight the fire. If we put seven more homes in that area, we have a minimum of seven, possibly up to 14 cars, plus myself and Mr. Fish trying to get down the hill while fire trucks are trying to get up. I want to make sure that the road is wide enough, not only for me and my family to get safely out of these homes, that the fire trucks can get safely up the hill to fight the fires. Hindsight would be, well, you know, we thought that a hammerhead would probably take care of it. I want it for sure. I want to make sure that the fire truck can get up there, I can get out, the fire truck can turn around, that the firefighters can be safe, and that I can be safe and get away from the fire. In talking to some of the older residences down the hill that have been there for years, it's been over 40 years since a fire has occurred on that hill. If any of you have ever had your insurance canceled because you've never had an accident, but you were due for one, this hill's due for a fire. I don't want to be there, living in my house, lose a family member possibly, or my house possibly, because a road was modified to something that we thought probably would be good enough. I want to make sure that you guys look at it and make sure that if it were your home, that you would want to live there and make sure that the fire truck could get there to fight your house fire or your hill fire. The same thing goes for the wells. I would like for you to have the same heart about the wells, that if seven new homes were coming into your neighborhood, that you would be ensured that your well were just as good today as it will be after the seven homes are built. I want to be able to possibly fight a fire with the well that I have, not have it go dry 2 minutes afterwards, whereas before it went for an hour or 2 hours. I implore you to suggest that the person that's going to make these changes in my neighborhood take on the responsibilities to make sure that these conditions are met. both for the fire, for the wells that exist already, major and minor tests for the wells to ensure that they're going to pump adequately after the homes are built. As far as the icy slopes, you know, everybody's testified about how we have to walk up the hill and stuff. There's going to be 7 more homes in this area that people are going to be hiking up there. If this is a one-way street without another access in and out, if we had another access in and out instead of a gated end at Smoky or something like that, that would increase the safety not only for being able to get in on icy situations, but also for during a fire and things like that. So I implore you to take that into consideration. And as far as the flow and things like that on the hill, it's another thing that I would like, that adequate culverts and things like that so that erosion is not an issue, not only during the construction, but after the construction is finished. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Williamson. You just had some notes. There's nothing to submit. Okay. Any commissioners have questions for Mr. Williamson? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. The next card I have here is Mr. John Schaefer. And you give your name and address for the record, and also you have 5 minutes.
My name is John Schaefer. I live at 229 Canyon Drive. I have a question of the panel here first. It's been suggested that this is a tentative plan. I understood that it had been approved and it was just to be ironed out as to what the finished plan was going to look like. Has it been officially okayed?
This application has not been officially okayed. It was a similar application was approved in 2006, but it lapsed, is my understanding, and maybe Mr. Lewis or Mr. Black would like to comment more on that.
Can you hear me? Hello? It's true. In 2006, this was an approved subdivision. However, the applicant only had 6 years to get that decision through the works, get it platted, get it built, and the time lapsed on that. So essentially it was a do-over for him. He had to start over again, and that's what we're listening to today.
Okay. So if they decide that it's too expensive, it may fall through again.
It's up to the applicant, yeah.
Take that as a yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Some of the photographs and things that I had have also already been exhibited. So I'll show you just a couple of things that will possibly demonstrate the severity of the flow. Okay, when it does rain real hard, a lot of times you'll get a flow between my property on this side and Mr. Fish's property over and through here. His property starts right in through here. There's his drive, and this is my drive coming out. The creek will run generally if we have any rain of any consequence. The problem happens when it starts and backs up because the as the water comes down, it's going to carry all kinds of debris. And if we don't watch it real close, it'll stop up. And once it does, it starts filling. The drain is over here, but it backs up and flows across and starts to wash out the drive. It gets pretty big. The point that I want to show is when there's no water and I'm standing, the drain is right there in under the asphalt. But the road comes just about where my hands are. And that's a lot of water. And if you add any more water to that that's already coming down, because there are roadways, there are yards and things that cause it to drain on down, I'm always going to have a problem every time it rains. I'll stay up at night. So the other point that I need to make is, have we ever had a fire truck go up over that bridge? And it's really not much of a bridge. I mean, it is, and it has been eroded away. Our house was built in 04, and we've been there 10 years. And, you know, there's been nobody else really moving in and out that has tried to bring a moving truck of any consequence up across there. I couldn't get a moving truck up. I had to hire another truck. And down in front of Mr. Pugh's house, or down a little bit further, we parked a great big van and back up a little bitty van and transferred things. So that's not, it's going to be difficult for them to straighten that area out. And it's the linchpin of this whole project, I'm sure. And that's all I really need to say at this point. I would like to see somebody bring a fire truck up there and just find out. Apparently, the grade is acceptable. But in a short distance, I don't see that it's acceptable at all. Is there a way of getting a truck?
I'm not sure that we're prepared to answer that question, but we'll take it under consideration and maybe one of the other expert testimonies can answer that for you.
All right. Are there any questions?
Yes, any questions? Mr. Wright?
Right.
The picture you showed of you standing in the ditch and the water overflowing, is that your driveway?
It is my driveway, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anybody else? Maybe any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Goodwin?
So on the picture where the water was flowing over, I thought it said on there, put it on Canyon Drive. So that was not a picture of Canyon Drive, that was a picture of your driveway.
That's my driveway,
that is,
yes.
Driveway.
That's my address that I've got written on there.
Yeah.
Mr. Glenn?
My question was answered.
Oh, yes. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Schaefer. If you could turn those pictures in that you showed on the overhead to our secretary there, I would appreciate it. Okay. Mr. Don Carter. And name and address for the record. And you have also 5 minutes. Please try to keep your testimony to things that have not been already stated.
11 Canyon Drive. I don't think that any of us are opposed to this project. We just want to see it done in the correct manner. Okay, and there's issues to the engineer's drawing. Right now, the existing grade of Canyon Drive going up there ranges between, and by the way, I am a developer. I work with an engineering firm. And I develop property. The existing grade going up there ranges about 12.8, okay? The proposed, and I can see why it is at 15, is because of the big dip down by the irrigation canal of their fields and everything. So they're going to increase the grade, the overall grade of it. I object, you know, to the variance of narrowing the street. There's a line of sight issue. If you look at the ODOT regulations, 81.110, it's supposed to be 200 feet. You don't have it. It's right on, you've got the two Canyon Drives coming in on a corner. You've got the main intersection coming on a corner there. And if the engineer can rectify this, make a wider street, do whatever to resolve that, that's great. If they stay within the county issue. The other issue is the natural drainage swell that's going to drain on his property that doesn't have a culvert that will take it. Also, if you look under Oregon ODOT hydraulic statutes, you can use a natural drainage well, which he's stating that's not against state law. If you look at Section 9, you can use it, but you can't divert water to it. His design, they're diverting water to that natural swell. Okay? So you have that issue. The other issue is, if you look under Section 9, they state that they determined by changing the drainage, keeping it on their own property, it was not determined that it was determined that it was not a feasible option. There is an option. We do drainage all the time. You can put a drainage culvert and catch basins in to divert it and keep it on their own property. The reason why I think personally they're saying this, it's an expensive cost option. Let's not cut cost here. Let's not influence our neighbors. Yes, would it be great to develop those 7 lots? Probably yes. But let's not do it at the cost of our neighbors. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carter.
Any questions?
Let's see, did you show anything? No, you just had testimony, so we're okay. Any questions from Planning Commission? Mrs. Goodwin.
I have a question. You said the existing grade is 12.8% and they're going to increase the grade?
Yeah, they're going to increase it to 15% because they got to do fills down by the irrigation deal, which is normal. They're still within the county regulations there, but there's already a problem due to the grade and the width of the road and everything. So the grade overall will, in places, will increase to get their 15%. If you look at their design, their fill and cut design, that's what they're going to end up with.
Mr. Ockerton,
where do you reside on this in this plan here? Right? Or your residence?
I reside at, how I look at it is, I think it's not a very well designed plan for the neighbors. There's a lot of issues to it. I think that if they did a full street, they attacked the drainage issue to keep it on their own property.
I was wondering where your residence is here.
I live up on Canyon Drive.
Is it close to this where the development is, or is it?
I adjoin it at the top end.
Okay, about how far?
And one of my issues is the fire issue because I'm uphill from it. Okay. But I think that's been very well stated by these other gentlemen.
Do you adjoin this property at all?
I adjoin it on the corner. Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a kind of a location where it's at. So.
Hi. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Carter.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. The last card I have is from Mrs. Judy Ahrens, who is, name and address and for the record, and you have about 5 minutes as well.
Thank you. Judy Ahrens, 200 Smoky Lane. So I'm over in the Georgia Terrace area. Okay. We've heard some great, we've had some good neighbors out here that looks like they've really done their homework, and some of them were talking about the quality of life, and quality of life is important to all of us. It's important to the developers, it's important to you, it's important to people sitting out here. Quality of life is important. I guess the big concern is, how much is it going to change? How much it will impact the people based on your decisions? And I know Mr. Church, you said we don't want to repeat ourselves, and I don't know if you have an actual written bylaws for that, but just to I'm getting tongue-tied here, to repeat a few things, is that the safety issue. You know, they indicated that the fire trucks would go through our place, and has there ever been one up there? And what I find interesting is that sometimes people that are on planning committees or on commissioners, like we have two sitting out here today, this evening, sometimes maybe we don't make the best decisions, and it doesn't affect them, but it affects so many people, and right now it affects this little concentrated area of neighbors here. So even though it might not affect you personally, someday it might, but maybe not in this case. It's like, well, I don't want to get into our history of Germany, but sometimes things will affect us down the line. So once again, like one gentleman said, just putting yourself in their place. So with the safety issue, when I thought it was a good point when the person had said, has there ever been a fire truck up in that area? You weren't sure, but if you're not sure, maybe the answer is no. And the people live up there, and when you compact it with seven houses, and it could be 14 people, and maybe it's really, they have teenagers, and we just keep adding and adding and adding. And who knows how many will actually be in that area. That's down the line for us to tell. But your decision here tonight will help if the decision, it will include a lot of these recommendations, not from Mr. Bob Hart, to include in your the regulations to add more, so it will make it safer and our quality of life won't be impacted that much. I'm sure it's going to be impacted, but I think where you folks are coming from, how much will it impact our lives? We want to have a good quality of life too. These people have worked hard all their lives to acquire something in a knife where you could hear the birds in the morning. They don't want to be waking up some morning and they think we can't get down because of a fire truck. Then there's the other thing about the drainage issue. I think that was a great issue in the winter. Icy and everything and people getting down, and where they said they maybe we had a good place to put a stop sign up there. Stop sign, I believe they were sharing that up on Canyon Drive and that intersection. Those roads get very, very icy. I couldn't get down mine in Smoky Lane just going down Hamilton. I decided to stay in one day and do a lot of baking, which was okay. But my point is, it gets that it's you don't get any sun and people are going down and you might have some teenagers running down and boom, 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 boom. So there you go, an impact in a person's life. So the decision you make to add some of these more regulations to what you're maybe going to already decide to pass, and I don't have anything against the developer or the doctors that own this property. You know, we don't have anything negative against them. We just want to make sure that what we own and we just have our dream here in this country and this American dream, we don't want to fade because a few people say we didn't do our homework or we didn't check out those pictures, or how would that really affect some other people here? I think, Steve.
Ms. Ahrens, can you keep your testimony to the
sure.
To the point?
Yeah. Okay.
You're getting a little off.
Sure I am, but it has to do, Mr. Church, it has to do with the bigger picture.
Okay.
Because the dream, living here, everything has to do with these homes that these people have worked very hard for. And what they're concerned about, after working hard and giving up so much of their time to do what they have, is their life going to be impacted negatively? And I think that's a good question. I think you all folks work hard. Would something impact you that would be negative and impact your quality of your life? So all I'm saying is that all the concerns they have from Mr. Bob Hart sharing the things, some of the things that they want you to put in the requirements there, that you give that very, very, very serious consideration. And no offense to the developers on the side and what have you. We want them to be working and everybody have a job. We understand that. But just make sure that doesn't impact our lives so negatively. You know it's going to impact our lives, but just make sure it's not impacted so terribly that we can't enjoy life. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions for Mrs. Ahrens? Nope. Thank you very much. We have, go ahead. You'll have to come to the podium and address your name. And if you have a card, I can... Oh, that's okay. No problem at all. You're Mr. Andrews?
I am.
Okay, name and address for the record, and you will have... Are you opposed or in favor?
I'm opposed.
Okay, then you'll have 5 minutes, and please keep your testimony to...
New items.
...the point.
Please. Got it. First, I want to thank everybody for allowing me to speak publicly on this issue. I live at 259 Smoky Lane. There's one other house up Smoky Lane, 249, up this right-of-way that's the road that goes from end to end. And Bob is sitting over here in the audience. Just a couple of points. This entire project is landlocked. The only access to it is over bridges at both ends. There's no other access for fire or anything. And it's from the Smoky Lane end to the Canyon Drive end is vaguely a half a mile. I haven't walked it exactly and measured it. But it's going to be one lane for a half a mile with no... So if people are meeting head-to-head, you know, going to work every day, whatever, there's got to be... A lot of people are going to be backing up into somebody else's driveway to get past. The bridge on the Smoky Lane side, you saw a photograph of it from Bob Hart. It's there's four I-beams rated 12,500 pounds each, and they're in pairs set at the spacing of tires of a truck. And I had Rural Metro Fire come out last Monday and look at it, and he said he wouldn't be afraid to cross the bridge because the truck wheelbase is longer than the bridge, and only one axle at a time would be on it. And if it when it falls through the wood, because the wood is all, you can walk on it and it's spongy. It's all coming apart, it's old. But the tires couldn't get past the beams, so he could effectively get across the bridge. My house is about 400 feet up the driveway, around the corner, and just before you make the last little corner to my house, would be straight on, more or less, would come out at the other end at Newby Drive eventually. But right there, there's a little, it goes down and up real steep, and that's the part of the road that's been washed out when we've had a lot of rain, and a Toyota truck can barely get over it right now because it's so narrow. A fire truck would not make it through there. So that'll all have to be improved. And one of the questions I have is who's going to pay for the new bridge surface? The beams are good. They're sturdy in cement, but the bridge surface is going to disintegrate as soon as heavy equipment starts going through there. And that's the other thing. They want to bring all the construction equipment on the Smoky Lane end because the Newby Drive end is too steep. They can't get up it. Like one man said, his moving van couldn't get up it, and he had to unload down the street and rent another truck just to get his furniture in the house. And big trucks won't be able to go up that end. So they're all going to have to go through the Smoky Lane end. And who's going to pay for the new bridge? Because it's going to come apart. You know, right now it's just cars and light pickup trucks going across it, and it would last for a few more years, but when heavy stuff, cement trucks, gravel trucks, road graders, backhoes start going across there, it's going to come apart, no question about it. Another point is that I talked to Bob Murphy, the other guy on the road, and he said that back years ago there was an agreement made between the property I'm in, him and Moser, that the right-of-way would support a single dwelling each. So only one person that lives in the new subdivision could theoretically come up the Smoky Lane side to get to their house. Everybody else would have to go up Newby, up Canyon Drive. And that's why they want to bring all the construction equipment up my end, because it's too steep. And they want to have everybody that lives there come in the other end because of the right-of-way access. And it's one lane the entire way. So all of those I see as significant issues, and I believe none of this has been addressed before. This is all new information. And I rent the house there. I've been there over 6 years. My landlord lives in San Jose, California, and he couldn't be here tonight for obvious reasons. So he's made a statement. He emailed me a statement that he wants me to submit for the record. His concern is the well, that the well would go bad once, because my well is right at the edge within a few feet of the new property. And the one test well that's been drilled is just within 100 feet up the road. And if they start drilling a bunch of other wells, my well could go bad real easy. So who do I give this to?
You can submit that to the staff there at the end of the table. Any questions for Mr. Andrews? Mr. Wright.
Any questions? There'll be a test later.
Mr. Wright had a question.
I'm going to throw one at you right now. You made a reference to a right-of-way, but you have no documentation.
I do not. Bob Murphy may have documentation. I'm not sure.
Yeah, without documentation.
Because I'm not the property
owner. If there's
owner.
Documentation, that holds a lot of weight, but hearsay.
I understand. Bob, could you come up with documentation?
I can't put faith into that.
Could you come up with documentation on the right-of-way?
The right-of-way?
Yes.
I
Can you put, do you have paperwork that supports that? It's on his deed.
Okay. Thank you.
And again, I'm the tenant. I've been there 6 years, and but the landlord and him and Moser each have a three-way agreement.
Mr. Etner, you have a question?
Yeah. Could you restate what Rural Metro did? Did they take a unit over that
He did not. He came out in a pickup truck, and he looked at the bridge, and he said he wouldn't have a problem crossing the bridge with a big truck, but he didn't do it. And I was concerned about the forest fires last summer because we were in heavy smoke, as you know. And I'm in the woods. There's huge pine trees all around the house. And he said, and I'm about 400 feet from the bridge. And he said even if he couldn't cross the bridge, he's got a truck with a 1,000 foot of 3-inch hose that he could run up the driveway and save the house. But 1,000 feet doesn't get very far into the new subdivision.
Okay, thank
Not
you.
At all. Is that it?
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Andrews. Commissioners, would you like a 10-minute break, or should we keep going? What's the consensus here?
Take a break.
Okay, we will take a 10-minute break before. Oh, I want to. Is there any more opponents that wanted to speak but didn't turn in a card? Okay, so when we come back from the break, we will let the applicant have an opportunity to speak. 10-minute break. Thank you.